Welcome to a new episode of Operation Gundog. We hope you enjoy it.
Back.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Yukonuba Sporting Dog. If you want to get everything your dog's got, you need nutrition that holds nothing back. To help unleash your dog's maximum potential, check out the new Yukonuba Premium Performance Lineup at yukonubasportingdog.com. Hey guys, welcome back to Operation Gundog. We're here with episode 23, and we're going to go through some big developments that have kind of gone on for us and our gun dogs over the past couple of weeks and share them with you guys, our listeners. So we'll go ahead and jump into it. John, what have you and the Bayou crew been up to?
Man, we went on our last hunt of the season this past weekend. We had planned it all earlier last month. You know, 2 weeks ago we went to Oklahoma, and then kind of going back in the same vicinity 2 weeks later, which was last weekend. And about 2 hours before I was leaving to go out of town, I found out that Bonnie was in heat. So she had to miss out on the last hunt of the season. A little bit of a bummer because she went into heat in early teal season too. So not even 5 months later, she's back in heat again. Kind of a blessing and a curse, you know, with the curse being that she had to miss out on that hunt, but the blessing being that it shouldn't impact her hunt test season too much at all, because, you know, if I were to have marched it out 6 months from her last heat cycle, it would have plopped right in the middle of hunt test season. So that part we were more fortunate with. So we'll be optimistic, glass half full types of people. All that being said, we drove up Thursday night. Me, Arlo, Chief, Delta, and Enzo, the puppies, and got there kind of late, about midnight. Thursday night, woke up Friday, got the dogs out with Old Red Kennels. Look them up on Instagram if you haven't already. We had a blast. They did a great job hosting us and definitely appreciate the experience. So Friday we spent training the pups and the big dogs, went and picked up about 115 chucker, and Arlo drew the first straw on getting to go on the chucker hunt. So got to take him out. First time doing any kind of upland hunting. And he had a blast. I had a blast. I definitely recommend if you're in the North Texas, South Oklahoma area, give Old Red Kennels a shout and ask them about a chucker hunt. See what they can do for you. With that, the coolest retrieve, maybe for the whole bird season, was Arlo's first chucker retrieve. So sent him to a little patch of grass that we had a chucker planted in. And, of course, I know it's there. He doesn't know it's there, but he flushes it. And we didn't get a great shot on it because it chucker, you know, for my first time seeing a chucker, I didn't really know what to expect. But those things are strong little birds. They, a lot of times, they'll pop straight up and just fly into outer space, you know. Anyways, we took a shot. I think we both took a shot on it, and we hit it, but not very well because it flew about 200 yards across the field and into another field. Arlo chased after it. He was booking it. Like, he was in stride. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen him with this pace, but he ran the full 200 yards through a barbed wire fence and 30 head of cattle, which he's never seen a barbed wire fence or a cow before. So at this point, we can't see him. All we can see is a bunch of cows running around in the next field. We hop on the side-by-side, drive over there, and he is scaling the barbed wire fence with a chucker in his mouth. So it was a pretty cool sight to see, and I would definitely try out chucker hunting if you haven't done that, because it's a blast. Next day, we did a guided duck hunt right across the Oklahoma border. And it was a tough hunt for, you know, I'll say a younger or a more of a novice gun dog. So Chief was the one who got to go on that hunt. And if you've listened to our previous episodes, I've had Chief almost a year now. He is running at about a seasoned gun dog level. You know, he runs blinds and, you know, doesn't have any issues with that, which I'm glad, because, you know, the way we had it set up, where we were, he couldn't really mark a lot of the birds. It was a super swampy setting, not really enough water to swim in, more kind of chest deep water you had to run through. Super soft, muddy ground beneath the water. So he was working really hard to get to those birds. A lot of vegetation, burrs out the wazoo. The name of the property that we were hunting on was called Grass Burr Ranch. So if the name, you know, can indicate how many burrs were around, I didn't realize how bad it was, or realize that burrs were actually in the water. We didn't spend any time on land. After a couple of retrieves, I noticed he was kind of slowing down. I was like, man, this dog's getting tired. And then I noticed he was, you know, just not moving right. So I thought maybe he got injured or something. But I went feeling around on him, and he had tons of burrs just in his armpits wadded up in there. So He was definitely feeling those. But with all that, he pushed through it, and he got to pick up 11 birds that day. And out of those 11, he probably only marked one of them, just the way we were set up. It was a lot of long shots that we were taking. So he ran basically 10 blinds. His most memorable retrieve for me was about 120-yard blind, where he had to go through a couple different levels of terrain. And at about 90 or 100 yards, I had to I had him at a whistle stop and had to push him back over a patch of grass where the duck was behind. And it took me a couple times to try to cast him over that, but he did it, and he got the duck and brought it on home like he was supposed to. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to get we had a photographer come out, and I'm waiting to see how everything turned out. I got to see on his camera a couple of nice retrieves that he was able to capture. One in particular I'm really excited about, you know, getting to see it. He was bringing back a pintail, so I really want to get a hold of that one.
What all types of birds did you guys end up dropping on that trip besides chucker?
Yeah, so the you know, the chucker was the one little planted upland type hunt, but then on the duck hunt, we killed, let's see, no mallards. We got some gadwall. We got a couple pintail, some teal, some spoonies showed up, ringnecks. Somebody killed a coot.
That's not a hunt without one of those, right?
Yeah, there you go. Might have been maybe one or two other species, but that was kind of the bulk of it.
Nice.
Little different variety from 2 weeks prior.
Do you think Chief would have made it out there if Bonnie wasn't in heat, or do you think you would have given him a shot? Or
I think he probably would have been I'd let her be lead off batter and then traded her out, you know, to get him on some birds, because I really wanted to work all three of my dogs, you know, this year, so I wanted to get them all a turn. But it is tough to not run Bonnie whenever she's available. But you know, with all that, I was able to get all of my dogs on birds, and they all picked up 10 plus birds this season, so I felt like that was a you know, pretty fair to get it, all of them at least 10 birds, you know.
You posted something on Instagram the other day. How many total species of duck have you guys on the Bayou crew picked up this season?
I did count it the other day, you know, kind of. I've been keeping up with it on my phone, and we picked up 11 different species over the year. So I've never really counted before. It's just, you know, now that I got the dogs, you know, I'm working them more consistently. I wanted to see how many each of them were picking up. So I kept up with the types of birds we were picking up, and yeah, it looks like we hit 11 this year.
That's crazy. 11 different species of ducks. I mean,
well, birds too. I counted doves, you know.
I got you. You know, it's been a interesting end of the season for me and Sailor as well. You know, a couple weekends back, we went out to the North Carolina Outer Banks just about. We hunted a pretty well-known lake towards eastern North Carolina. We saw a bunch of birds, just didn't get the opportunity to shoot too many of them. Did end up dropping a wood duck. We drove out to the Outer Banks and were able to shoot a wood duck, and Sailor picked that up. You know, just it was a good time. Got to spend some good time with a buddy of mine, and got to see a lot of birds. Sailor got to pick up a bird. She got to experience the whole situation, and you know, blind with a little doggy door and stuff like that. So it was good for her. Came back from that trip and found out I had COVID. Unfortunately, I had ended up picking up from work, I guess, that Friday, and my buddy ended up having it. So since we sat in the same truck and the same duck blind and everything all weekend, he tested positive as well. So we all had a quarantine this week, but it wasn't a total loss because we got to, you know, both go out on the closing day of the season. And, you know, we still set up a little bit of space between us and ended up seeing a good number of wood ducks, and Sailor got to pick some up. And that was the first hunt I took Sailor on of third split this season was going to be the coldest one. But the last day of the season by far took the cake. I think when we got out there, it was low 20s. I think it was about 22 or something. So my truck was reading. And so, you know, it was a cold walk in and setting her up on a tree with a little deer stand that I've rigged up for her. And she was crunching. She was literally crunching because her fur just was so frozen. It felt like a Brillo pad. And, you know, she was still going in there and picking up ducks and didn't seem to phase her too bad, which is always fun to see. After we had some ducks come in, I even had my gun literally froze. I think the shells got a little wet when I tried to put them in. They froze the gun, so I had to end up beating that up against a tree. But, you know, it was a good time. It was a good exposure for her. She got to pick up a duck, and, you know, that's all you can really ask for is to get to take your dog out on the last day and, you know, put a duck in front of it. So
did you say how cold it was?
Yeah, it was about 22 degrees that morning.
Wow. So were y'all breaking ice then too, or?
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't a whole bunch. We did a little bit of post-hunt scouting. We found a little beaver pond that had, you know, some thicker stuff on it. Where we were at, it was just a little bit of surface ice walking in. It wasn't, you know, breaking sheet ice or anything like that. Gotcha. And the spot we were at, it was still, you know, fluid water. So she didn't have to break ice to go pick up the bird, but she got to break some ice on the way in through some flooded timber and stuff like that. So, you know,
right.
An interesting end of season hunt. I mean, it's what you expect for the very tail end of the season. It's cold and wet.
Yeah. It seems like, you know, for the end of the season, we had a lot of birds in the area. So I was, glad to be a part of that.
Yeah. We had a lot of conditions just lined up for the last day of the season here. We had a snowstorm blew in just north of us. I call it a snowstorm in North Carolina. Some places got about 2 inches of snow, but we had that come in during the week, and then a cold front came through, brought some rain. And so we were on the tail end of that getting to hunt along with another cold front coming in, you know, after the weekend. So there was a good bit of weather, cold morning and wind was blowing. It was cloudy and the birds kind of cooperated that morning, and you know, we got to see a lot. So it was a fun hunt. It was a fun way to end the season, coronavirus or no coronavirus. We powered through, and you know, fortunately my symptoms have been pretty mild here. So we're almost up with quarantine now. And so I'm looking forward to going back to life as normal as it can be.
Right. I bet you're glad to have a hunting buddy that could have COVID with you and still go hunting.
You know, I hated it for him because, you know, I was put in that compromising situation where, you know, somebody had exposed me and some coworkers to it because they were hiding some symptoms and didn't find out till that Monday when I showed up to work and half the cars weren't there. And I got a call as I was walking in saying, hey, go get tested. So, yeah, that was my first call. I kind of, I felt like,
Right. Yeah. You had to call everyone you've been in contact with, like you just found out you had the HIV or something. You had to call up all your partners.
Yeah. Luckily the only people I had contact with was him. That was really him and Sailor and my wife. And, so we're fortunate to be able to mitigate the risk. Luckily we went duck hunting. Cause you know, if we didn't go duck hunting, there's no telling what we would have done that weekend. And so
you would think that finding out that you have COVID on Monday would be like the biggest news that you would have that day. But I feel like you had something else that was like even bigger happen on Monday.
Yeah. So I received an offer to train dogs professionally. And that offer is with a kennel called Anchored Canine. It's down here in Southern Central North Carolina out of Bass. And that kennel's run by Stacy West, who has some cool accolades and everything behind him and some SRS experience, field trial, that type of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to this experience. I'll be more so developing young dogs for sporting and detection uses. So it's a great opportunity for me to get some more experience and get to put my hands on even more dogs than I would have otherwise. So I'm really looking forward to it. I start on February 8th and I'm really counting down the days. I'm excited.
Yeah, probably starting to feel more real as the closer you get to it, right?
Oh yeah. I know. I always joke with my wife because, you know, my current role, I'm kind of like a sales manager for a wholesaler of tactical supplies. And you know, I'm going into a position where my title is going to be dog trainer. And I asked my wife, I was like, are you going to be a little embarrassed when people ask you what your husband does and you have to say a dog trainer? She's like, nope, not too much. I was like, all right, cool.
Hey, as long as she still loves you.
Yeah, I don't think she'll go anywhere anytime soon. So
that's good, man.
You know, I had something else kind of crazy happen this week in regards to social media. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I posted that TikTok of Sailor on Instagram Reels, and I think it's over 100,000 plays now and a bunch of 1,000 likes and stuff like that. I didn't see that coming. It was like, you know, a whole week or so I've just had my phone blowing up. I can't have my screen open without, you know, getting notifications that I'm getting likes on the reel and all sorts of stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty neat. I don't know what defines going viral, but you know, in my mind, I'd have to say that might be it.
I mean, that's I usually top out at about 500 plays on any kind of video that I post. So 100,000, you know, that's for me, that would qualify, I think.
Yeah, just a little exciting thing going on this week, but yeah, that man, you're talking about Chief and Burrs and everything getting stuck in his fur. I don't know what it is, but between the Outer Banks and the last hunt of the season, Sailor's hair grew just enough to the point where things started getting stuck in it. And I've been able to manage her, you know, manage the length of her fur to be long enough that it keeps in some warmth, but not so long that things get tangled in it. And after that last hunt, man, it's like little twigs or leaves or, you know, you'll find little globs of mud making little mats in her armpits and stuff. So we have her grooming appointment scheduled for this coming weekend. So we'll have her looking like a poodle, not a doodle here pretty shortly.
That'll be nice not to get confused with that, you know.
Yeah, I you'd be surprised how many times, even when you have a dog with a shaved face, what You know, when people ask if it's a doodle or not, typically that's your telltale sign, is that your doodles typically don't have that poodle shaved face. They groom it a little differently, but yeah, people always ask. Man, you know, I've noticed there's, I don't know if it's a trend or what exactly it is. Maybe it just happens to be that hunting season's going out, or just so happened that a lot of people got the same idea at the same time. But man, have you noticed more giveaways this past week on Instagram?
I have noticed a lot more giveaways here lately. I'm getting tagged in them anyways.
You're like my go-to tagger. Whenever I see something that says tag three fans, I tag you, Bill Desmo, and Wade. Those are my three go-tos.
Man, I I've kind of upped my standards a little bit on like what I will participate in as far as like a giveaway. Like it, you know, I'll look at it and check it out. And if, you know, I guess I just, maybe back in the day I would, you know, participate in any giveaway, but now I'm looking for the good stuff, you know. With that being said, the good stuff, we're about to have a good stuff giveaway, on our Operation Gundog page. So if anyone out there is interested in giveaways, be on the lookout for that. We have a little collaboration coming up with Rec Specs, Yukonuba. We also have brand new Operation Gundog leather patch hats, hand-stained leather, hand-stitched leather on the hat from Red River Leather. Check them out, too, on Instagram. It's going to be a sweet giveaway. Make sure you're keeping an eye out for that.
Man, I'm excited for that one. Am I allowed to have my wife enter for me?
Nope. I think it's going to be a conflict of interest there, buddy.
You know,
you might have to make a fake profile or something if you want to participate.
Yeah, I might look into that. You know, talking about being choosy with giveaways, man, I just can't not. Like, if I see it, it takes such a little time for me to, you know, tag however many people or follow some accounts. And I swear, free is my favorite four-letter F word.
I mean, that's a good point. I did win one giveaway that was just a collar, you know, for the dog. And I won the collar, and I love that collar. I got it for Bonnie, and I ended up buying two more collars. They were personalized collars. And so now all three of my big dogs have the collar. They don't wear it all the time because I don't really like the dogs wearing collars always, but definitely getting that collar, I realized, you know, that it was nice and that I wanted more of them.
Yeah, man, I noticed, I thought I saw some pictures or something, or maybe videos on your story of dogs wearing what looked like Bonnie's collar. And I was like, man, go buy yourself some more than one collar. Stop just trading them on all your dogs.
I do trade them out. Yeah. So if I'm going on a road trip or something, I'll just bring like one collar just so I can walk the dogs, you know, with the leash, have something to connect it to. So, yeah. And I'll just trade it out on all the dogs.
See, I'm so paranoid. I've only got one dog, but I'm always paranoid. Anytime that dog leaves the house, if I'm letting her out the back door or whatever it might be, I don't let her leave the house without a collar on just in case, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point too. That, you know, could, you know, having your information on there could definitely save you if your dog gets loose and gets picked up.
Yeah, I had something crazy. So, you know, we have a 7 1/4 acre out here, and you know, all the houses are pretty spaced out, but there's occasionally stray dogs that just come roaming through here. And yesterday morning, I let Sailor out, and I always go out there and kind of watch her while she airs, and I just heard something rustling in the woods and figured it was, you know, a handful of squirrels just, you know, messing around back there. And then out pops this, you know, this stray dog that I've seen before behind my shed. And Sailor started barking and trying to chase it. And I had to, you know, no, sit here. And that dog took off running to the woods. And luckily, because, you know, we have some good fundamentals, some actual applicable use to all the obedience we work, you know, instead of her chasing that dog off into the woods, it was, okay, sit and then recall. And so,
I think just good obedience has solved a lot of gun dog problems for me as well. Helped us work through different aspects of training, for instance, you know, de-cheating and, you know, having a dog that wants to cheat on the way back. If I can just whistle stop them and reorient them to here, get them to come back across the pond instead of running around it, like, I feel like that's a victory.
Oh yeah, for sure. Speaking of obedience and the puppies, where are you in the puppies training?
So we are, well, we've gone through pretty much all of the obedience that I typically do, which is, you know, sit, extended sit, place, down, here. They're healing on both sides right now. Getting them used to that. That's a new thing for me. I've always just done the left-sided heel. In addition to that, they are starting to get their adult teeth in. So you know what kind of comes next is that formal fetch type program. So that's really – I actually looked at their teeth today, and I looked a week ago, and Enzo had two sets of canines, and now he has one set, and looks like all of his teeth are pretty much in. So actually my plan was to start that process tomorrow. So – we're going to have an everyday, multiple time a day sessions going on with both Delta and Enzo.
Nice. I wonder if with, you know, some adult sized chompers in his mouth, if Enzo's going to keep up his little teeth chatter thing he does.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of ingrained in him now. He's never had any kind of a hold issue, even with going through losing all of his teeth and, you know, growing in the big teeth. Like, he's always wanted to pick up the biggest thing he could get his mouth around. he's got a very good natural hold, which I'm hoping, you know, helps elevate him through this process.
I'm sure it will. I think that kind of puts him, you know, a step ahead of the game there. Do you think when are you going to stop calling them puppies? Is it after formal fetch, or is it after the year birthday? When do we stop referring to Enzo and Delta as the puppies?
Man, that's a good question, because, you know, my Arlo, Bonnie, and Chief, I call the big dogs, and I call them two the puppies. So Arlo, Bonnie, and Chief are all between a year and a half and 2 years old. And then I got these guys that are 5 months old. So I think they might be the puppies until I get another puppy. I don't know. You know, it's at some point, you know, maybe they become the big dogs and the small dogs, or the little dogs, or the younger dogs. Maybe one day they become the big dogs too. I don't know. I guess they, I guess so they could catch up. They're only, when you think about it, they're only a year behind Bonnie. You know, she was born in August of the year before, so it's not too much of a stretch to say that whenever they're four and Bonnie's five, like, they're all big dogs then, you know?
Yeah. It's just a matter of time before they outgrow the kids' table, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're about to get a little closer to the big boy table real soon, starting tomorrow, so.
Well, cool deal. I'm glad to hear it. I'm, you know, really looking forward to some cool things we have cooking here. So I hope all you guys listening are super excited about this giveaway. Given some more details about that as it comes near the giveaway date. And so make sure you're paying attention to the podcast if we're dropping hints on there. If you guys haven't already, we kind of mentioned algorithms and how they're weird on Instagram. If you are interested in seeing when we drop that giveaway first, make sure you go to the Operation Gundog page and you turn on notifications for posts, because the way that, you know, everything is on Instagram, it's super easy for stuff to get overlooked or missed. So make sure you turn on notifications, and while you're there, you can go ahead and turn on notifications for my page, which is at the Puddle Hound, and John's page, which is at Bayou Gundog. That way you don't miss any of our posts, any of our reels, and that way maybe we can get John over 500 views on his next Instagram reel.
Man, I don't know, I might be retired from Instagram reels. But it hadn't worked out for me, man. You know, I'm having to direct my focus to, you know, other things, like, I guess, real dog training.
Well, that's all I have for this week's episode. John, you got anything else you wanted to add before we close on out?
Man, I think we've gone above and beyond what I had even hoped for this episode. Probably about time to hang it up.
Well, all right. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of Operation Gundog. If you guys did, please don't forget to rate, like, comment, review, whatever it might be on whatever platform you're listening to it. That way we're giving that feedback that you guys are enjoying the content we're putting out. If you're new here, don't forget to hit subscribe so that you are informed and notified whenever we release new podcast episodes, especially with this giveaway coming up. If we're putting any information in those episodes to come, you want to make sure you don't miss any of that information. So don't forget to hit subscribe. And, you know, we do this for you guys. We enjoy putting out content for y'all. So we hope you guys are enjoying the content we're putting out. And if you got any input, any questions, any suggestions for future episodes, don't hesitate to reach out to John or myself on Instagram, or reach out to the podcast Instagram page as well. We're always open to hearing from fans, and we definitely want to make sure we're putting out content that you guys find valuable and that you're able to enjoy as well. So with that, I'll bid you all an adieu and look forward to having you guys on for the next episode.